Hello, Pastor Ben here, continuing our study through the book of Galatians. This week we are entering chapter 3, reading through the first 6 verses. We've seen Paul make many arguments up to this point, trying to get the Jewish believers in Galatia to understand that the Jewish law did not need to be applied to the Gentiles in order to have them have true salvation, among other issues. And we see in today's text that Paul starts to really use strong language and try to redirect their belief system back to the truth of the gospel. So let's read. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law, or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." The opening phrase is what it is. This is Grumpy Paul. "You foolish Galatians." He is so concerned that they have gotten wrapped up in just being blinded by the wrong approach to life in the new life in Christ in the gospel. This question, "Who has bewitched you?" has this idea of the evil eye, which would have been a very strong thing back then that would have had spiritual connotations that especially the Gentile believers would have thought strongly of. So again, this is very, very harsh language. And then he says after that, "Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." Now, he's not saying that the believers in the Galatian church actually saw Jesus crucified, but the idea here is that it's been billboarded. It's been made so clear by the teachings of Paul and of the other true teachers that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his death, his resurrection, is the only true qualifier for salvation. And so then he asks this sort of rhetorical question. He wants to learn just one thing from them. Did they get the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what they heard? And clearly the answer is the Spirit came from God, as he says in the following verse. But just reminding them that it wasn't because of what they did or who they were that saved them, but it was an act that was initiated by God and completed by God. And so looking to human effort through the law in order to somehow obtain further salvation or blessings or power or whatever it is that they were seeking, none of that was going to be effective in doing anything for them except continuing just to bind them to human efforts. Which again, he says, you're trying to attain your goal by human effort. And then this verse 4, "Have you suffered so much for nothing?" That word there for suffered in the Greek doesn't necessarily have a negative connotation. When we think of suffering, we think of something that's bad that's happening. But really, the word there is any kind of strong emotional response to something. So yes, it could be painful, but it could also be joyful. And given the context of verse 5, speaking of God giving him his Spirit and working miracles, it's possible to look at this verse and retranslate that as, have you experienced so much of God for nothing? Has it been in vain? Right? God has done all of these great things through his Spirit. You know, we've seen in the Pentecost is contemporary to this time. It's not some faraway event, the initial birthing of the Spirit into humankind after Jesus's death. So they've seen and experienced both sides of that coin. They've had persecution, but they've also had miracles and just great movements of the Spirit of God. And what Paul is saying here is, if you think that's from following the law, observing the law, being the best Jews and trying to make the Gentiles into Jews, then everything that came from God really is meaningless, right? It's all our human effort is what's bringing that about. And that is clearly not the case. As he says in verse 5, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard? He's echoing, he said, the same exact question back in verse 2. Just really making a point of getting them to sit back and analyze, okay, am I experiencing God because I'm doing things, or is God doing things in my life and I am experiencing them? There's also an implied question here of some of these believers may have felt like in their everyday lives, they weren't experiencing miracles. They weren't experiencing great power. They weren't recognizing just the everyday call to endure and put their trust in Jesus just for the mundane and the ordinary. And so the attempt to get something that was extraordinary or supernatural by following the law, doing more, trying to add something to salvation, and coming up short, clearly, is a possible other outcome that Paul is fighting against. We don't earn blessings from God. They are bestowed on us by him. And even just recognizing the daily blessings of food on the table and transportation and family, friends, connections, those things that are good and necessary, but we don't always see them as coming from God because we get used to them. So just because we don't see tongues of fire or miraculous healings or these different things in day-to-day life, that doesn't mean that God isn't working in our lives and that we're doing something wrong and there's something that we can do more in order to earn those things. And then Paul points to Abraham as the example of following the law doesn't get you the blessing from God, right? He quotes Genesis 15 here. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. A couple important notes there, and we'll talk more about Abraham in the next session, but it doesn't say that he believed in God. Right, it says that he believed God. He believed what God said. God made a promise to Abraham, and Abraham acted on that promise, basing his faith in the character of God. We know in James it says the demons believe in God, but they don't believe God in the sense of following his word. So that belief, also as we see mentioned in James and as well as in Romans, that the faith is credited as righteousness, but we see it played out in his going into, the foreign land and in his following just all the different directives throughout Abraham's life that God gave him, taking Isaac up as a sacrifice, even before that, believing that he would have a child and that at the age that he and Sarah were at was not really seeming possible. But through all of that, God credits his belief as righteousness. It's also important to note that Abraham existed before the law, which I think is another reason why Paul is bringing this up. If Abraham were to have earned the righteousness of God through doing something, how could he do so before the law, as the Jews had known it, was even given out? So Paul's setting up just this continued fight against thinking that the law adds something to salvation, or that the law is necessary to figure out before salvation. We know that it's Jesus and Jesus alone that saves. We could never live up to the law, no matter how hard we tried. And if we were to break it in one place, we've broken it in all places. And so as Paul is sort of chastising these believers who are trying to put on these Jewish beliefs that are no longer current to the true spiritual situation, and especially again with this issue with circumcision that's come up multiple times, that you know somehow if you didn't get circumcised then you can't have the Spirit of God on you, and Paul is just pointing out that's not true. You know, look at Abraham. It wasn't, oh, Abraham did all these things. It's that Abraham believed God. We do see him do those things, but not because that's what's earning him the favor. It's the belief that he has, and it's God giving him the righteousness out of God's character. It's not really because of Abraham's belief. It's really who Abraham believes in that credits him as righteousness. And so as we consider our approach to our everyday life and wondering, okay, where is God in this circumstance, in my job, in my family, we have to remember that God is in every detail. He knows exactly what's going on, and it's our side of things to submit, to listen, to pray, to be in his word, and to just see just how awesome the freedom that we have is to be able to do those things and not have to follow a formula or check things off a list in order to stay in his good graces. And so I hope that will be just a helpful encouragement to you as you approach the following week, that there's no punch card that you have to fill in order to get God's Spirit. If you are saved, his Spirit is in you and it is working in you.